During the last decade, Islamist movements have established themselves as major players in the Middle East. They have shown popular appeal. A result of their combination of religious ideals and practical social programs, they set up networks of service organizations in many countries. The social trust or social capital they generated translated over the years into political capital. Dr. Nathan Brown, a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington, says it's a lesson the region's secular parties have failed to learn.
Our big problem is that although they have respect often in their societies, they're not able to organize people to turn out, to mobilize them at the polls, to organize them as constituencies. And this is something that the United States cannot really help with. What they've got to do is to stop debating the government and debating each other and get out and organize people.
Since they have not, some political analysts say the greatest impact on the political evolution of the Middle East will come from what they consider mainstream Islamist organizations. Those are defined as groups without militias that do not resort to violence. Neither Hamas in the Palestinian territories nor Hezbollah in Lebanon meet those criteria. And the United States does not talk with either, considering them terrorist organizations. Brown says the United States has little choice but to work with the mainstream Islamist within the context of a general promotion of democracy in the region.
So I don't think it would be effective to try and pick particular Islamist leaders and say these are the ones we want. That might even be counterproductive. I think what the United States can do is to basically foster democratization more generally and then allow these Islamic movements to take advantage of the opportunities and to respond to the signals that are opened up by the political system.
Participants in a recent panel at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington, D.C., said that there are several areas to watch to judge whether Islamist movements they consider mainstream, such as the Muslim Brotherhood, are committed to the democratic process. Dr. Amr Hamzawi, a senior associate at Carnegie, outlined several indicators.
The first one pertains to the implementation of the Sharia, the Islamic law. Second one is on violence. Not that they practice violence. Our mainstream movements do not practice violence, but they do have different ambiguous perceptions on whether to legitimize violence in specific contexts like Palestine or in the case of Hamas or in the case of Hezbollah. So here, when we say violence, basically their perceptions on violence and whether they legitimate it or not. A third gray zone is on pluralism, political pluralism, their perceptions of political pluralism.
Others which Islamists are still ambiguous about include civil and political rights, women's rights, and the treatment of religious minorities. Scott Carpenter, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near East Affairs, says U.S. diplomats have spoken with Islamists about these issues.
On specific things like protections of minorities and protections of women's rights, that this is something that in our discussions with Islamic political parties, we have to continue to ask them, what is your position? What is your position? Do you protect women's rights? Will you protect women's rights? What about the Coptic community in Egypt? That it's important that we retain our clarity even as these groups struggle to come to conclusions within the gray zones.
The U.S. has held talks with individual candidates in Egypt, but not with the Muslim Brotherhood as a party, because Egyptian law still bars parties based on religion. But some analysts believe that will change. They say a policy of engagement with Islamist organizations is the only constructive option open to those who believe democratic development in the Middle East is in everybody's interest. Mohammed Shinawi, VOA News.